Well, good morning and bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Joshua, book of Joshua. I wanted to share this morning on some healings that we've had in the ministry, some testimonials. So I think it's really great. We had a situation with some problematic hemorrhoids and those kinds of things, and they are gone. And one of our believers had a bone spur in his shoulder. And it's been bothering him for about 6 months, and been to all the different doctors, and they thought he'd have to have surgery for it. Went to an orthopedic surgeon, and the surgeon said he'd have to have surgery for it. So we talked, and he asked me to pray for him about 3 weeks ago, and which I did. And, you know, we've talked about it in the ministry that not every healing is instantaneous. And, of course, he remembered that was absolutely so. And yesterday went in to take a shower and was washing himself off, lifted up his arm and had absolutely no pain. He's been spinning it around, flinging it over his head and or whatever, but he's totally delivered. So God is still there. He's still a God of healing. This is a ministry of healing and deliverance, and it's very exciting, some of these great things. And, you know, what he's done for us, he'll do for you. So, you know, if you've got a need, certainly you can make that known. We'd be very blessed to pray for you, minister to you, whatever needs to be done to restore you back to your health and your healing, because those are the promises of God to you. This morning I wanted to teach on meditation, confession, and cursing. It's kind of a weird combination, but I wanted to set some things for you, some tremendous truths from the Word. Sometimes you've heard the expression, I'm my own worst enemy. Well, sometimes that is literally true, and we need to see what we can do to make you your friend. You know, in the news and daily, we're fed with so many different negatives. You know, the country's going down the tubes, jobs are being lost, and all this stuff. And the things that you're being told, well, the real important thing is, what are you telling yourself in response to these things? What are you telling yourself when your mind is attacked by these different things, all these different diseases that you can get, or diseases that you may think you have, or diseases you actually do have, financial situations? What do you tell yourself? What is your thought life? And I thought it'd be great to, first of all, look at the word meditation, because the word meditation in the Old Testament word means to say it to yourself, speak to yourself. And I thought it'd be great to look at this. Starting in Joshua chapter 1, it says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. You know, Moses died. Moses had led Israel for over 40 years, led them out of the wilderness, led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea into the wilderness, led them through the wilderness. They were fed every day for 40 years with manna from heaven and all these different things that Moses provided water for over a million people. How would you like to have that as your believing responsibility? And so, you know, obviously people had a great affection for Moses and great thinking of Moses, but now he's dead. And it really must have hit their heart. You know, I'm sure they probably said, why? You know, why all this and why that? But anyways, he's dead. And Joshua now has to take the responsibility of leading the children of Israel. And it says that he tells them to arise, so they must have been sitting. You know, just kind of mourning Moses' death. Then in verse 3 it says, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from this wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I what? Be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, isn't the scripture to us, he will never leave us, nor never forsake us? See, we have a very similar promise, but now he goes on to tell him in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou what?
Strong
and very courageous. The words very courageous means to be steadfastly minded. That means to have a strong mind. Steadfastly minded. Steadfastly minded, or to strengthen yourself. To put strength into yourself, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If for some reason we are not prospering, perhaps we need to be very courageous and be steadfastly minded, strong of mind, strengthen yourself. Well, how does one strengthen themselves? How do you become courageous of mind? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, and we'll come back to Joshua, so you might want to put a ribbon there, but let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. And in verse 28, it tells us one of the things is in chapter 3, verse 28, but charge Joshua and what?
Encourage
him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So Moses was instructed by God to command Joshua. Joshua already knows he's the one that's going to lead them over. This is not a surprise to Joshua. Remember Joshua 1. But he needs to be strengthened and encouraged. And what he'll need to do is cling to the words that Moses gave to him, that God told Moses to speak to Joshua. To encourage yourself. To have courage, we have to be encouraged. One is by our fellowship one with another, the words that we speak to one another. Now, that's great in a believing group, because I can share the word with you. I can remind you of the promises of God. You have a certain appreciation for me, so you regard the words that I speak. But now, how about encouragement in a smaller group, right in your home? The words that we speak to one another, are they encouraging us and making us strong of mind to be steadfastly minded? Are they helping us to be strengthened of mind? And the great benefit of our families being believing ones, we can do that for each other daily. Encourage us. There's another one. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. Because we really have to guard our minds. The scriptures tell us to do that. And we have to see meditation. It means to say it to yourself. Well, what are you saying to yourself when it comes to the things of God? Or when it comes to life? When it comes to the attacks on life? 1 Samuel 23, verses 16. Is that right? And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand, where?
In God.
So he didn't go there to show him how to fight. He didn't go there for any other reason but to strengthen his hand in God. Well, what's one guy going to do? Well, the strengthening his hand in God has to be that he spoke the word to David, to remind David of what God had said to him and what God said about him and the promises that God has made. That's what it means, where he strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, here, look, verse 17, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And the two made a covenant before the, what?
Lord.
And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So his strengthening David in God was to remind David what God had to say to him and about him. Isn't that beautiful? That's tremendous. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 30. In 2 Samuel. Okay, so I must have made a mistake there. 2 Samuel. Let's see. It was in verse 6.
First Samuel 30.
Maybe that's what I did. Maybe I put an extra line in my Roman numeral. Mm-hmm. Okay. First Samuel 30. In verse 6. Yeah. This is a situation where Ziklag got burned and all of the problems that David had, their wives were taken and their families and all that were taken. And the people were very upset with David, and it says in verse 6, and David was greatly what?
Distressed.
Have you ever been that way?
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't stay there. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David, what?
Encouraged
himself in the Lord. Isn't that terrific? It means to become valiant, to girding your loins. In other words, David just decided, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rely on the promises of God in the face of all these things. We still have, you know, our children are still captive. Our wives are still captive. All this stuff. And the people are really upset. You know, I'm sure he considered where's their believing at and all this stuff and where's mine. But he encouraged himself what?
In the Lord.
And the only way you can encourage yourself in the Lord is the Word. Putting the Word on in your mind. Look at, let's go to Psalm 27. The 27th Psalm. Another great record, and this has to do with encouragement. Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall what?
Strengthen
thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Wait on the Lord. Got to put the Word on. Got to get our minds set on the Word. Meditate. Think on these things. Say it to yourself. I am going to be strong. I am strong. Look at Psalm 31. Verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall do what? Well, if you're going to be of good courage, then you're going to have to encourage. Either be encouraged by another person or encourage yourself. Say what the Word says. Meditate on the Scriptures. Say it to yourself. And he will strengthen your heart. And if your heart is strong, your believing is going to be just as strong. All ye that hope in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. These tremendous records of the Word. You know, and if all of the negatives that you're hearing, you know, I've pretty much quit listening to the news because all they have to say is terrible things and just things to harass and upset. And you see it in our country. People are harassed and upset. So, you know, we're moving away from those things so I can feed my mind. Verse 10, fear thou not, For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. But look at that. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. The word dismayed means failure to proceed by one who is balked by fear. Well, the only way we're going to get over our fear is to come back to the Word and meditate on the Word. Say it to yourself. Tell yourself the Word. To be balked by fear, one who is balked by fear, failure to proceed. One of the sayings that I heard is, the only problem that ever defeats us is the one we quit. And I think of that in if you look statistically, what's a good batting average? 350? 400 is a phenomenal batting average? Then that means that 60% of the time you've made an out. 400 batting average, that means 40% you got a hit, so that means 60% you made an out. But, we look at that 40%, we look at a 400 batting average like, holy cow! And here you have, but the only one that really defeats us is the one that makes us quit. And if we fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed. Don't allow yourself to be balked by fear. Don't allow yourself to fail to proceed by one who is balked by fear. Look at, let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Tells us, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, for unto this people shalt thou divide the land for an inheritance, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. The purpose is that you may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's a figure of speech. It means just the opposite. In other words, you always speak the word. Always speak it. But thou shalt meditate therein. How often?
Day and night.
Day and night. And the word meditate means to say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. So when you're tempted to be fearful, Larry, fear not. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thou shalt meditate it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Larry, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou dismay. There it is, failure to proceed because of one who is balked by fear. Failure to proceed by one who is balked by fear. Because there's always something out there to make you fearful. There's always something being said. But what are we telling ourselves? What are we hearing ourselves? What do you speak to yourself? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that beautiful? Let's look at Psalm 1. You're going to hear a lot of things, but what are you telling yourself? Are you encouraging yourself or are you discouraging yourself? Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, are you going to be getting a positive report? Are you going to be encouraged by them? That's why you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, how often?
Day and night.
Day and night. It's that constant repetition. Say it to yourself. Tell yourself the word. Tell yourself the promises of God. The word delight means a pleasure to do. To find pleasure in the doing of. He finds pleasure in doing the law of the Lord. Why? Because it's positive. It's beautiful. It's telling us great things. You're more than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, there's great, great things it tells us. And look at the results of meditating in it day and night. And he, that blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. There's plenty of benefits to say it to yourself, to tell yourself the word day and night. Day and night. Keep repeating it. Look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, day and night, starting early. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. If we really want to see the power of God effectually in our lives, we've got to start meditating on the Scripture, saying it to ourselves day and night. Tell the word to ourselves day and night. We want to see the power and the glory. We want to see the power of God, not just talk about it. It's great to tell everybody, you know, God is good and God is love and all this stuff, and then we don't really see the problems being just blown out of our lives. The authority that we have from the word, the strength that we have from the word. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and what?
Meditate
on thee in the night watches. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, oh boy, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. Tell it to yourself. Tell yourself the word. Remember it. See, remember all the great things that God has done for you. That's one of the reasons why I encourage believers at times to keep a journal so you can remember, yes, God did work for me. That's right. I had that need and it came to pass. That's right, I had this disease and I got delivered. That's right, I had this financial opportunity and all of a sudden I got blessed with the abundance of it. That's right, I do. Remember it. Say it to yourself, yes, God did work for me. God does work for me. That's right, God is faithful to his promises and I've received those promises before. That's right, I can believe God. That's right, I really do that. Meditate on it. Say it to yourself. That's me. Boy, when I read that blessing, hey, that I could have wrote that. That is me. See? Look at Psalm 77. Here's the contrast. Contrasting opinion, I guess, or something. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran into the night and ceased not. My soul did what? Refused to be comforted. Yeah, you know, I was trying to be positive, but you know, the problems were still there. My sore ran into the night. It just would not let up. And you know, every time I thought about the promises of God, I kept thinking about my problem. And I know the promise of God. I know the promise of God, Larry. Yes, I know the promise of God. But you know, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. Well, why would you be troubled remembering God? Oh, you know, but it's just not going to happen to me. Why? Because of what you're telling yourself. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. The word Selah means to consider deeply. You know what he was considering deeply? His problem. Why do I still have this problem? Must have been something I did wrong. I must have sinned someplace. I must have done something wrong. Well, that's probably true, but why don't you get delivered and then worry about the sin later? See? Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled, I cannot speak. Because he would not go back and set his mind on the promise of God. And, you know, and maybe in that situation there was something there that was not allowing him to get his mind back to God. It kept bringing up the problem and bringing up the problem. You need deliverance. You need healing. And that's where we can have a brother come in or a sister in Christ that can minister to us and help us get past that thing. And then we can start sticking our mind back there. But he said, I had considered the days of old, the years of the ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Well, there's the problem right there. He's kept looking at himself, looking at all of his failures, looking at all of the problems. I keep having these problems. Yes, but you kept getting delivered from him, remember? It's not the amount of problems, it's the amount of deliverance that you've received. But he kept looking at the problems. And then he started looking to himself, well, what is wrong with me? Well, man, you know, I try to be a good believer, but I'm just not cutting it. I just, you know. And he kept looking at himself. Look at verse 7. Will the Lord, then he starts blaming God. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Well, does his promises fail? Absolutely not. But look at where his mind was going. Instead of saying to yourself, meditating on the word. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah, look at what he's considering deeply. Instead of saying it to himself, then what he needed to do was either get one of his brethren to strengthen him in the Lord, like David did with Jonathan, like those other situations. If you don't have the strength there for yourself, get with somebody who will strengthen you or help you or deliver you so you can get your mind back to where you need to be. Might have been embarrassed. Oh, I'm going to go and they're going to say, you just need to think the word. Well, that's what you do need. You already know what you need. Why don't you do it? Goodness sakes. Well, verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. That's right, he finally realized what the problem was. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings. He had to change his confession. He was just defeating himself, you know, where the adversary had gotten in and made an attack on him, then he just wound up just defeating himself, fighting against himself, instead of fighting off the adversary or getting some help with the promises of God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among his people. So he starts bringing himself back. But his deliverance didn't change till he changed his mind by remembering and start telling himself, remember God delivered you? Remember what God had done for you? Something. look at Psalm 143. 143rd Psalm. Aren't these great? Great encouragements, and we need to either encourage ourselves or get some other people to encourage us and then continue with it. And one of the great things is if you have a journal, you've got something written right there, you can pick it up and start reading it. You know, sometimes people don't want to go to the Word to renew their mind because they're just so stuck on the problem. Well, why don't you at least pick up the journal and see what God did for you? Remember with Ahasuerus, one night he was troubled and started reading through the Chronicles, and remember, and then they saw what when Mordecai helped him in that assassination plot. So it was pretty good. Psalm 143, verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. And you ought to go through and read the whole psalm. It'll just bless you. But, you know, when you see that meditate, it means to say it to yourself. Go through it and read it. It's just magnificent. You know, so I think you'll really bless. There's a lot of great things for you. The next thing, then, is your confession. Once you've said it to yourself, now continue with your confession, because your confession contains such a great part of everything that you do. In the New Testament, the word confess in a number of places is the Greek word homologeo. It comes from two words, homo meaning same, and logos, which means the word. Say the same thing as the word says. There it is. Say the same thing. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, the good news from Luke in chapter 12. Here's some good news for you. In verse 8, Jesus says, Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men. Now, what does it mean to confess? Homologeo. Say what the Word says. Say what the Word says about Jesus Christ. Say what the Word says about Him. Say what the Scriptures say about Him. Him shall the Son of Man also confess before who? The angels of God. He's going to say what the Word says about you to the angels of God. Well, let me ask you a question. Do the angels of God love God?
Yes.
Do the angels of God love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So if you're speaking what the Word says, which would obviously, like in good news, speaking well of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to be speaking well to the angels about you. What do you think the angels are going to think of you? What do you think is going to happen when you need angelic intervention? They're going to come a-running. They're going to come and help you. Look at the aid that we've got. See, if we say what the Word says about Jesus Christ, He's going to say what the Word says about us to the angels, which is pretty good news. Then those angels are going to be very, very happy to help us in any way that they can. See? Oh, it's just tremendous when you see this. When we're attacked by the evil spirit realm, how much do you think the good angels are going to want to help and protect and work for us? Because we speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they love. We speak well of God, whom they love. We say what the Word says about Jesus Christ, and then He tells them what the Word says about us, what God has to say about us. Boy, oh boy. How much is our lives blessed? See, look at look at Psalm 103, 103rd Psalm. go back to Psalms again. Isn't this great? See? If you've always got people crabbing about you, well, we got somebody who's talking well about you, so what do you want to hear? 103rd Psalm, verse 10. See, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our what?
Transgression from us.
The reason I wanted you to read this is because it tells us in 1 John chapter 1, I'd like you to go there. First John. Chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess homo legeo, say what the word says, if we confess our sins, if we say what the word says about our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you free from the sin then?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, as far as the east is from the west. And he does not deal with us according to our sin. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, oh boy. See, just a great thing. See, if we don't say what the word says, if we don't speak what the word says, then what we're going to wind up doing is wind up speaking curses against ourselves. Now, I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I just want to reset this for you. Deuteronomy 28. And we'll start from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, we're going to meditate in the Word, we're going to say what the Word says, listen to the voice of thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then it starts to list all these great blessings. So if we're confessing and we're saying what the word says, we're going to be getting all of these blessings. Sure. All these tremendous blessings. All the way up to verse 13. And it tells us, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. We want to do the word, but we have to first start confessing the word, saying it to ourselves. Then it tells us in verse 15, But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, you're not going to say the word to yourself, you're not going to listen to the word, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. curses are more than, you know, you dirty rotten chicken kisser, or, you know, when I think of curses, because where there's an opportunity, the adversary can add power to them. For instance, if you're constantly telling yourself the negative and he has no authority, you are now giving him authority by constantly confessing the negative. For instance, I needed to bring a bunch of things into the house when I was doing a repair on a house. And so I opened up the front door. It was a summer day. I opened up the front door, and the house was clean and beautiful and all that stuff, and I'm carrying all these things into the house, and I'm putting them in the house. Well, I left the front door open, so flies that were on the outside came inside. And when I closed the door, the flies were in the house. And so as I was working, this fly kept buzzing around, and I kept hearing him going around, and he'd buzz on my head, and he'd walk around, you know, I'd slap him off and all that, and I was totally annoyed. Now, the reason the fly got in the house was because I left the door open. I left the door open. Now he's in the house, and there he is annoying me. Well, we do that similarly with sin. And the sin basically is by when we stop confessing what the Word says. Then we leave a door that's available, and it's like, you know, it's almost like I invited that fly in. Now, I still killed it, threw it out, and got rid of it because it didn't belong in my house. I didn't want it in my house, and I had the authority to keep it out of my house. But when I opened the door, I invited him in. Well, it's a very similar situation, see? When we start confessing and saying negative things about ourselves, look at Proverbs chapter 26. It says in verse 2, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not what?
Come.
There is a reason why it comes. There is a reason. The bird just doesn't decide it's going to go flying around aimlessly. It's either out hunting for food, or it's gathering things for its nest. It just doesn't decide to go out for a stroll, you know, I'll just fly around a little while and just enjoy the summer breeze. I mean, there's a purpose behind it, and why it comes back to the nest. Well, it's the same, you know, a curse, you can wind up cursing yourself. People do this all the time. For instance, you know, you hate a particular portion of your body, and you basically curse that thing. I hate my nose. I hate this. Or I hate that. I think a lot of our physical problems, a lot of our opportunities come in because we open up that door and invite it in because we hate our body. Or other aspects of our life. I hate my life. You know, I hate this. I hate that. And by that, you know, it's your life, but now you have opened the door and allowed the fly in. You know, I didn't stand at the door and say, okay, flies, you can come on in because I left the door open. But my leaving the door open was an invitation for the fly to come in. Now, once it's in and it starts annoying, I can get rid of it, but a curse causeless does not come. There is a reason behind it, a reason things happen the way they happen to us in our lives. But there is also a reason for deliverance. See? You know, it's the same thing, too, where people's lives wind up getting cursed. For instance, you know, if a child is told that they're stupid or that they're ugly or that they're this or that they're that, these negative things, you're basically putting a curse out there for that child because that's what's, you know, if the door's open, that's what is going to be going in. See, just something. But remember, if we confess our sin,
He is faithful and just.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and separate us as far as the east is from the west. Remember Psalm 103? if we say what the Word says. He'll separate us from that. And Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, great record here, verse 12. Oops, chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I
remember
no more." There is a way to get deliverance. But then get your thoughts back. See, what are you meditating on? What are you confessing? Are you confessing the blessing or are you confessing the curse? Remember in Deuteronomy, I've forgotten where it is, in Deuteronomy where it says, "I set before this day life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life." He's even got to tell us what to choose. It's in Deuteronomy 30, I think it is, verse 19. Deuteronomy, oops, got to go farther back. It's a choice we make by the actions that we take. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Mm-hmm. "I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish in," that's 18, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death." It's been set there. It's been right here. "Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God." There it is. And the way you will really love the Lord thy God is continue to choose life. Choose the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Say what the Word says. Confess the Word to yourself. And not the cursing. It's all wrapped in your confession. What do you tell yourself and what's being told to you? And what do you really want to believe? Confess the Word. We can encourage one another, or you can encourage yourself in the greatness of the truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace and goodness. Thank you, Father, for this Word that you set for us, and that we can remember what you've done for us in the past. And Father, we can consider deeply the great truths of your Word, that we can say it to ourselves and meditate on it day and night. Father, that we can be strong and strong for others. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. Thank you, Father, for the way to defeat the adversary and to get him out of our lives and fill our lives with the great light of your wonderful Word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.